Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Arthur, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rod Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Rod.
Rod's a good... You know what? I think Rod... You know, certain names are cool names, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, and then some, and some aren't. But there's a few names. Like, Rod is cool. Rodney, no. It's a real weird jump off. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, where Rob, Robert, just fine. Who get Joshua, yeah. Josh, fine. But it's Rodney to Rod is a real jump. I love it. I'd love to be Rod Beckett.
Yeah, I think that would work. Well, you can be Rob. You could be Rob.
My parents love Rod Stewart, and I don't know why they didn't call me Rod Beckett.
Do they like Only Fools and Horses?
They loved Only Fools.
You could have been Rodney. You could have been South East
London. South East London boomers. Did they like Only Fools and Horses? Come on, mate.
You could have been Rodney Beckett.
Asking if you're my mother Wurzels.
That's close to a hate crime.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Have I culturally appropriated something?
I don't know.
Am I allowed to sing Combine Harvester?
Well,
you've got a brand new Combine Harvester and I'll give you the key.
Do you know what? It more was like a great impression of Charlie Baker in many ways.
Right there, Josh. Sorry, I feel all weird and giddy.
Yeah, I've got Olympic fever, Rob.
Oh, God, I'm absolutely full of it. Do you know, my only problem with the Olympics is the time zones of Japan, and I cannot watch people with a six-pack succeed while I'm in my pants desperately trying to find a coffee. makes me feel like shit.
If you're worried about the time zones, Rob,
yeah,
get yourself an 11-week-year-old. It's a perfect for Tokyo Olympics, mate. He woke up at 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, don't bother resettling, I'll take him downstairs. Absolutely loved it.
Adam Peaty's in a semi. yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You're actually seeing some of these golds win live rather than being told about it by Sam Queck and Dan Baker at 7.
Exactly. Dan Walker. Mate, I'm up with Gabby. I'm up with Gabby Logan.
God, she's doing the night shift. Is she there or in Manchester?
She's doing Olympic breakfast. They're all in Salford.
Salford, sorry, far away from Manchester.
it's a very different place, Rob. If you do the Lowry, be very clear on that.
I tell you what, if you even suggest that Salford, I've got it wrong again, it's anywhere near Manchester. They're not even northern, they're their own thing there in that key.
Yeah, totally.
Near the Manchester United football team.
It just happened that when I lived in Manchester, that would be where I'd go to watch gigs. But it was strange that I was going from one city to another to watch gigs.
Yeah, it seems mad to travel all the way from one city to another city on a tram that takes 8 minutes to another city to watch a show. It's crazy, mate. Why don't you just go to a Manchester show instead of traveling
It was Salford or Leeds. It was always very difficult to choose between.
Crossing the Pennines to Salford? Salford? What is it? I've got it wrong.
Oh, I know.
They're going to hate me, all the listeners up that way. They're going to hate me now.
It's fine. You've got the South East London market sewn up.
I did a gig in Scotland once in Inverness.
Yeah.
And I was talking about the game Articulate.
Yeah.
And then the bloke went, "You're saying it wrong." I went, "What?" He went, "It's Articulate," in his mental Scottish accent. I was like, "No, I'm not getting it wrong. I just have a different accent to you. That's not how things work. Is that you know what I mean?"
Yeah. If you know I'm saying it wrong. Then I'm saying it okay. I'm saying it enough for you to understand the routine.
Yeah, imagine if I was like, hello, if I arrive, sure, Beck, have anyone played Articulate? It's like proper Scottish.
If ever there's someone you don't want to play Articulate with, it's that bloke. That's an absolute nightmare.
It'd be a nightmare, yeah. It didn't work. It didn't work out well. And it's so off-putting in Inverness because in the summer it's light until midnight.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you not know this?
No.
Oh, it's great. Everyone's just out on the piss and you're just hammered and it's bright. It's like the midday, but it's not. It's midnight.
Imagine having a newborn in Inverness.
Oh, well, Iceland's like that as well. Iceland has 4 hours of sunlight.
If I was shagging in Iceland, winter, Rob, I would make sure...
Have a cold bum.
I would make sure to have... Like, surely the dream situation is to live in a...
Okay, you're in Iceland. When do you want to shag to have the baby?
Well, talk 9 months before that bit when it's always dark.
Okay, so you want a summer baby in Iceland. But then the baby is always... So it's always daylight. You want that?
No, I want it to always be dark when the baby's born.
Okay, I get you. So you need a winter baby in Iceland.
Nature's blackout lines.
Yeah, there's only 4 hours of sunlight from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Perfect. That's 4 hours more than I need at the moment, Rob.
If there's any Icelandic listeners or people that live in Inverness or anywhere where there's not much daylight in different seasons, let us know. Is it better to have a baby when it's dark all the time or light all the time? Hey, Reykjavik guys, let us know.
Do email in. I think in terms of just usual, you know, pedestrian British seasons.
Yeah.
I found it a lot easier having a baby, the first one, in the winter than I do in the summer.
Yes, I'm a fan of a winter baby to a point.
Yeah.
Because you can just put more layers on them. Wait, trying to keep a baby cool is hard.
Trying to keep
the heat.
A baby cool, particularly when they've got ginger hair, it's very difficult to keep them cool, Rob.
Have you got a ginger? Full ginger?
He's starting to look a bit like Alan McGee, the head of Creation Records.
Well, it's weird though, because my 5-year-old, she was ginger when she first sort of grew hair.
I was ginger,
hair,
and then very ginger, and then I was very blonde, and now I've found a middle ground in adulthood.
I'd call you a dusty blonde.
Yeah. Dusty Blonde is also my karaoke name.
I thought it was going to be a porn star name.
Yeah, I should have, shouldn't I?
You've kept it very Radio 4 there.
Yeah, sorry. I thought there might be children listening.
Yeah, but some people do listen with kids, so apologies for the swearing, but it's nothing I haven't heard. I shouted fucking hell the other day and my daughter's repeated it.
Oh, that
was because
you shout fucking hell?
I was getting stressed. It was hot.
Really? I didn't realise you had a reason.
I just had a massive spliff, actually. And for some reason, it sends me angry. No, but basically, this how stressful is this, right? I've got out the back door and locked it, and it's got locked, so I can't get back in that way. So I'm trying to get through the side gate, and as I put the key in the side gate, it snaps off.
Oh,
I'm trapped with children
in
the heat. In the heat, and I couldn't get out, and then I had to... As they're screaming at me, I'm trying to pull the key out with my fingernails just because you can just get the little bit that's sheared off. And I went, you know, and then they both said it. And I said, you're not allowed to say
that. What did you do in the end?
I managed to pull it out, and then we had another key I could use to put it in. But it basically got too hot. The lock had got too hot, and it just ate it up. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I'm blaming the heat for anything.
Something going wrong in the heat. Melting your key. It wasn't that hot, but it melted my key.
It was so hot, Josh.
It's the worst time. I had an awful, disastrous journey to the shops.
Okay.
So my local shop, which I like going to, but the slight issue is that the owner of it, who I'd say is there one day a month, but on that day, he thinks I'm called Sean. Have I discussed this with you before?
No, I don't know this. So the owner of the shop who's there, not that regularly.
He's not there, no, because they've got a range of shops. But whenever he sees me, he says, hi, Sean. And it's too late.
Oh, this is awkward.
It's too late. I think he thinks I'm Sean Walsh.
Yes, maybe.
I think that might be it. Because he'll say, you know, he's said stuff about, like, comedy and stuff.
So the Charleston, is it as fun as it looks? Or is it tough? Are you concentrating the whole time?
Do you get to keep the secret outfits?
So he keeps calling you Sean?
He keeps calling me Sean. Anyway, but I go there anyway. So it was bedtime, and I decided, because obviously two on two at bedtime, I thought we needed, I can't even remember what we needed. Rose wanted a coffee, even though it was 6 p.m. That's how things are going. And I said, I'll go and get your coffee, and then I'll go to the shop. And you know these biblical rainstorms we've been having?
Oh, yeah.
I got caught in that with the baby.
Oh, no.
Do you know what, Rob? It was about 4 days ago, and it was so bad that I've almost wiped it from my mind. At the time, I thought, this is possibly the worst experience I've had. And now I'm trying to remember it. I can't really remember. I just remember standing in the street in the rain with a baby in the plastic thing and walking around the shops, and he's screaming. He screamed for the 20 minutes.
So it was a baby covered with the plastic?
Yeah, covered with the plastic, but he was screaming the whole way.
Oh, no.
And I was going to get coffee, and then I was going to get something else, and then I got called Sean, obviously. And it was just the lowest moment.
So was you? Did you have an umbrella? Did you have a coat on?
No, I had a coat, but I've got an anorak that I think the dry cleaner's made it not waterproof anymore, Rob.
Oh, it's got no wax. It needs a new wax. Does it need re-waxing or something?
It needs re-waxing, Rob.
It needs a new film on it.
Yes, exactly. So that was an awful
What make is
that.
It?
It's Albam. Which is, admittedly, it's like a trendy East London shop.
So, look, I'm going to tell you something now, right?
Get a North Face.
Look, even North Face isn't that great. You need to go real nerd. You need to go like Rab or Columbia, one of them ones. Because I've realised this, you know, I think it's a middle class thing. I didn't realise that you can go out in the rain. You just have to buy Gore-Tex stuff and waterproof stuff. But when I was growing up, I just thought if it was raining, you just had wet feet. Because we couldn't really afford full water. Because you get an anorak, but it's not waterproof. Like, just a cool-looking anorak. It's never waterproof. No, you have to get something that's waterproof. I've got
who's not waterproof? The Arctic Monkeys. Do you know what I mean?
Albam. I've just Googled Albam. There's no way that is waterproof. I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
No chance. Yeah, and you just get soaking wet. But now, I'm dabbling in Gore-Tex footwear.
Are you?
I've got some Gore-Tex footwear, yeah, sure.
Bloody hell, Rob.
Yeah, because I go for walks now, and I've actually got waterproof trousers from golf. I popped them on the other day for a walk. I came home, and I just bored Lou to tears by going, I'm fully dry. And Lou was going, yes, because you've worn waterproof clothing. I was like, yeah, I know, but I never knew that was an option. I thought you just got wet.
I love that you bored her to tears, and you thought this needs a bigger audience.
She hates me. The level of anecdote or banter I need to be delivering for even a half smile, it's so unfair. The expectations, that's why I'm so happy on stage. There's people there just like giving me something back. What is it you want from me? I hear that most days. I'm just a bit, you know, applause break, bit of a laugh, you know.
Well, is that why, Rob? And I think you need to address this.
Oh, go on.
That we worked together on Saturday, didn't we?
And yes, we did. Yeah, that blankety blank. That blankety great
blank.
Fun.
I had a lovely time on blankety blank, Rob.
I had a right touch, didn't I? Because I went there for the early show.
You really had a right. You had a light touch. A right touch.
I've had a good week out of this. Basically, I went there for the early show. You were on the late show. I was like, that's a shame. I won't see Josh. All of a sudden, someone's been pinged and has to isolate. Rob, do you want to stay for the second show? Of course I want to stay for the second show.
To do it, not just to watch, of course.
Oh, no, yeah. I was in there doing all the blankety-blank guesses with Bradley Walsh, and you were on there as well, Josh.
Oh, what a lovely time. What a group of people.
With Tamsin Althwaite, who you kissed in your sitcom. That was awkward, talking about that.
It was not awkward.
It was awkward.
It wasn't awkward.
You've written a sitcom, which, you know, hands up, I've not watched. And
that's fine.
Look, yeah, I'll be honest.
As always, Rob, you're in touch with the nation.
No, as far as I'm concerned, it was a good sitcom. You had a few years of doing
three,
it.
Three seasons.
That's great. Basically, I didn't realise that you wrote a scene in it where you kissed Tamsin Althwaite.
Well, that wasn't the scene.
Mel from EastEnders.
As written.
And you ended up kissing her in your own sitcom that you wrote, which seems weird. I mean, no offence, but I don't feel like it needs a big love story, does it? A sitcom about you?
No,
I don't think people look
story.
At you
it's,
and
it's
go...
It's a comedic story.
Well, yeah, but no one looks at Josh Woodup and goes, I bet this is going to be a romantic sitcom.
It wasn't romantic, Rob. It was amusing. But it just so happened that that was how the scene played out.
Yeah, and you got reunited with her at Blankety Blank.
She was a great laugh on Blankety Blank, I thought.
Yeah, she really wanted to win. I've never seen anyone be competitive about Blankety Blank. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's just like, you know, Bradley Walsh is nice. They're filming it near my house in Maidstone. Yes, I do want to do two records in a day.
Craig Revel-Horwood, absolutely a lovely presence after all.
Craig Revel-Horwood, lovely guy. Oh my God, this has gone so show busy, Josh.
It really has.
I know you're only bringing this up to try and get me in trouble with Lou.
Well, let me just tell
you
my issue I had with Blankety Blank, Rob.
Go on,
you're not going to believe. So I was in the front row.
Yep.
And you were in the back row.
Yep.
And you might have noticed, so I'd turn around when you or Craig or Tamsin said anything.
Yeah.
Initially. And then I had to stop because I was getting Blankety Blank neck.
You was getting Blankety Blank neck?
I was getting Blankety Blank neck. My neck was playing up from being in the front row of Blankety Blank.
That's a very niche disorder, the Blankety Blank neck. And I totally get it, though, because you're having to crane your neck fully behind you and up at what, 45 degree angle?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not good for you, but you know, you can't really moan about it. No one else has, there's no society built for the other sufferers of the blankety blank.
No, you don't go to a physiotherapist and they go, oh, we had Debbie McGee with this last week.
Yeah, it's been, they must have been filming again. It's been non-stop here. You know, we've got Ricky from Ricky and Melvin on the radio. He's been in. Melvin's on next week, so he'll probably be in as well. It's absolutely right then. Janine from EastEnders was in with a blankety blank neck. She's requested to go top level for next series.
Top level is an absolute win. No worries about blankety blank neck.
Oh, Revel Orwood's absolutely fine, isn't he? It weren't his first rodeo on a panel, was it? No. He knows where to sit.
Obviously, I enjoyed the proximity to Bradley. I enjoyed that bonus, but... Oh,
Bradley, yeah. You were so close to Bradley. What, you look like the teacher's pet that sat there next to Bradley.
I did feel like the dweeb on the bus. I did feel like the dweeb at the front of the bus.
I sat there in the first
The cool kids at the back.
I was there in the first record, to be fair.
Yeah.
So it's all
How's your neck?
My neck's not bad, actually. I've sort of recovered when I was sat at top level.
Yeah,
but I know what you're going to say, because basically I got asked to do the second record and there's like a 2-hour gap between the shows.
Yeah.
And I decided to stay at the studio and just have a sleep on a sofa when the studio was 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, it was in Maidstone. The studio, you didn't... You could have gone home, done some parenting and come back.
I could have, mate. But I had to get my neck back in line, didn't I?
Unbelievable.
Look, you're going to have to do bedtime on your own. I've got blankety blank neck and I'm straight back in for another blank guessing game.
You're
straight
having after sleep this. On the clock.
Don't, no, I didn't. I wasn't getting.
I suppose you weren't getting paid in the middle bit. I suppose you weren't getting paid in the middle bit.
No, you don't get a fee for waiting,
no,
do you?
No,
I'm not
no,
a cab
exactly.
driver.
No.
It's like, it was up to me. I had my own time. I just chose to spend it lying down rather than going home.
Yeah.
But I have been doing some parenting as well, Josh. It's not
Go on then. Go on, hit me up.
But I talked about what my girls do now, which is quite weird. They go to the toilet together.
What, back to back? Like the Kappa logo?
I don't know how that they share it. They go. So when one of them goes, I need a wee, they kept on arguing about whenever one needs a wee, the other one goes, I need a wee. And they argue about who goes to the downstairs toilet or who goes to the upstairs toilet. Right. We've got two toilets. They don't even realize how lucky they are. I grew up with one toilet. We've got two in our house. I don't want to rub their face in that. And they go, share. So what they do is they sort of like sit on the toilet with one at the front, one at the back, and then wee at the same time.
Like they're on a log flume?
Yeah.
What?
That's weird, isn't it?
Like on a log flume.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like a log flume if they...
I've not seen them share a number two. I think that's too much. Only we.
Wow, and how does that work?
I don't know.
Have you taken an endearing photo of that, Rob, or is it too much?
I don't know how comfortable I feel about it anyway. Never mind.
Yeah.
I need to take an endearing photo of my children pissing in tandem.
You don't have to develop photos these days, so you won't get in trouble. It's just there for, you know, the embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. That was because that's quite... On your phone, you don't... You know, you've got a picture of your kids with their bum out in the garden playing or whatever. You're like, oh, that's a cute photo. And you may send it to your mum, but that's not going on, like, the Instagram. Or I don't put anything on Instagram. It's not going to, like, a big, like, you know, school group.
No.
That's not, you're not sending that to the school group. But imagine having to go into Boots and you don't realise that there's, like, your kid's knob in the photo. That's just... That's stressed. That must have been so stressful back in the day.
Because obviously you don't know what's on your camera, do you? Back in the bloody day, Rob.
Yeah. No idea. No idea what's on the roll, but on the Insta... What was it? The
film?
The film. Oh, my God, that's bad. I can't even remember what photos were printed on. The photo film. The film roll. The roll?
Just on the... Film on the negatives. I don't know.
On the negatives, all the words. I don't know what any of them mean. On the negatives, on the positives. Josh, also, I watched you on Catchphrase the other day. It was on the telly.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I thought you did really well. That
Thank
final
you.
Round was hard.
I got one away, didn't I?
It was very difficult.
I did well, but we should say that I was up against Gemma Atkinson, fair enough.
Yeah.
And a dancer from Strictly who was second language English. What a show to be on.
I know. Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, yeah, but that you got to the final, but the final round was hard. You did well, you got like 10, 20 grand or something, but it was tough. I thought we did really well.
They talk about you were there, Rob, like you are. Like they talk about you doing Catchphrase.
Yeah.
Like if someone has played football with Pelé. It was genuinely... Never has a man found his medium more.
It's the best thing I've ever done, I'd say. That's the best performance of mine ever or in anything of all time. But I did it all with like 10 seconds to go and it just, the stars aligned and it was just a moment of magic. But you can't replicate it.
You're made for those shows, Rob. Watching your blankety blank. And I'm going to ask a question.
Go on.
If you could host one show of any of them, which would you choose?
I always wanted You Bet, because that was my favourite show as a kid. But I think when Bradley Walsh has had enough of Blankety Blank, I am ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm there. Whenever you need me, I'm ready for the call. I'm like Gerard up at Rangers waiting for Klopp to retire.
It's an astonishing call, considering we were on his first episode.
That's what I'm saying, though. Whenever he's ready to hang up the checkbook, whatever it is. It's not even been on telly yet. And I'll have that.
It's not even been on yet.
Look, Bradley Walsh is the master. I'm nowhere near as
brilliant,
good as Bradley
wasn't he?
Walsh.
I love
so
Bradley
good.
Walsh.
Love Bradley Walsh.
Brad prefers to be called Brad.
Loves Brad. Just keep it. Yeah, Brad. Just keep it chilled.
Rod, it's very Brad. Rob.
Do you know what? For someone who's so good and so popular, like anything he does, the crowd go mad for it. They absolutely adore him. He's excellent anyway, but they're just so for him. He's so giving and nice and welcoming to everyone, when really you could, in that position, be a bit of an arse, couldn't you? You could just be like, you know, but he's so...
Is that your plan when you take over?
Oh, yeah. I want someone to say to me, Rob, you've changed. And I go, yeah, fucking right, I have. I'm only joking.
Now turn your neck round and see if that's comfortable for you, fucking.
Yeah, right now, let's match the blanks. I've got, a campfire here on for sale, up for grabs. I can't cope, Josh. I don't know what's wrong with
me
today.
You seem very, very, your word choice is all over the shop.
I know, I'm pumped. Do you know what? I'm pumped up, but I'm tired.
Why are you pumped up?
Just Olympics.
Olympics, it's great.
It's Monday. We're all unlocking, back on tour, that kind of stuff. And we've got loads of good correspondence coming, Josh.
Oh, well, can I just tell you
some on my phone?
You've saved some on your phone? Can I just tell you a couple of bad things that have happened to me?
Yeah, that's good. Everyone likes to hear that.
Number one.
Yep.
I don't believe this is true, Rob.
Go on.
I got my weekly screen time report on my phone, Rob. And I know you've seen this because I put it on Instagram. It was 16 hours, 3 minutes a day. That can't be true. I'm not here. That's what you should be awake for. I've been working as well. So there's periods when I can't have been on my phone.
What's it saying at the moment then? What was it this week? Has it changed back?
Oh, I will have just got my one from Monday.
You should have got it. Can you find that?
Yeah, 5 hours, 56 this week.
Right, so... What may have happened, you may have left like YouTube or podcasts on overnight when you're like, you passed out with it on.
Yeah, I don't do that though, I don't think. But
what's your go-to to try and get to sleep, looking at your phone? Do you watch something? Do you listen to something?
I put on a podcast. If it's a nap, normally at night I can get to sleep. If I go for a nap, I put on a podcast that I'm not very interested in.
Oh, okay. Are you willing to share what that is?
I would just be football based. It would just be like BBC Football Daily or something, like a generic football transfer talk or something like that.
Okay, fair enough. And that 16 hours can't be true. Mine's about 5 hours.
16 hours. So I know I'm not getting 8 hours sleep, but say I'm getting 6 hours sleep, that means I'm only having 1 hour 57 when I'm not on my phone. It must be a mistake.
Yeah, he's got his
sat nav for about 6 hours, but that's not ruined the whole week.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But that's only one journey.
How was your trip to Brighton?
It was very nice. It was very pleasant, actually.
How's the gig?
Yeah, it was nice. Oh, well, they do it on a hill, this outside gig. Oh, so right. There's about 1,000 people outside the fence that were just watching from the hill, which was an unbelievable misjudgment by Will Briggs, who ran the gig, but there we go.
And then you could all just hear it and just stand there for free and watch it.
Yeah, because there's big screens.
All right, okay, yeah, he's had a nightmare, hasn't he?
Yeah, and then you'd reference them and they'd cheer and it would be louder than the cheer inside because there's more people outside. It's like the old days of Glastonbury.
What? And how was it with? Did you come back? How are you splitting the parenting then? Because
well,
you're
parenting, Rob. The heat
you're working
has
a lot
been
now
a
the
problem.
Moment.
The heat has been a problem, Rob.
Yeah.
So, because he doesn't like to sit down. Right,
he's always pottering. He's like a mum. It's like a mum in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, and sat down all day.
So he likes to be walked around, Rob.
Okay.
So those days of the heat, you're essentially. I mean, I don't want to overstate this, but if someone said to me, "Did you know at Guantanamo Bay that they make them walk around holding a hot water bottle in the blazing sun for 8 hours a day?" I'd go, Yeah, that sounds about right. And that's what I'm doing, Rob.
Obviously, just he wants to be held all the time and moved
around.
Held
all the time. And he's fucking boiling, right?
They're so hot.
They're so hot. And you're just walking, holding this boiling hot water bottle, basically. It's an unbelievable thing to do with your time.
I did see a photo of you in a cafe that Rose put up, and you look so tired and fed up.
Yeah, well, I was. I was. But we seem to be getting through the acid reflux now.
Oh, that's good. Any better with the sleeping?
A bit dependent on the night. Yeah, it's. I'm hoping we're through the worst of the acid reflux, but that's what you say, isn't it? This is kind of next week's episode is going to be an absolute shitstorm, probably, because I've said that. So I don't want to get.
You don't want to get cocky with the acid reflux, basically.
Don't want to get cocky with the acid reflux, Rob.
I tell you what I've been doing as well. I've bought bikes for the girls to learn how to ride.
Oh,
because we bought them up other bikes for Christmas, but they're like so they're pretty ones, like them, but they're so heavy and the tires aren't very good on them. So I bought them like proper like functional bikes so they could learn. Anyway, yeah. So we're trying with a 5-year-old and it's absolutely backbreaking because it's so stressful because they're just going to crash. And then she sort of gets it and does
what
it for
doing,
a bit.
In the garden or in the park?
Well, in the gardens, we've got a little bit of. It's just not a long enough bit of like patio to practice. No. So by the time she gets it, she's got to stop. So I think I just need to take her to the park. But then there's a park near us actually. It's got quite a long bit of pavement around the edge. It's sort of like a sort of walk. So I'm going to take her there. But I think maybe it's just because it's too. Now I'm just like, if I let go, she's going to smash into the floor.
Oh my, so what are you holding on to? The seat.
The back of the seat and then sort of letting
back
go.
Of the seat.
But then when she goes past the window, she looks at herself. Oh, bless her though. You can see how a kid basically forms their self-confidence where she was like, I'm not good at this. Cause she fell off. And I was like, no, you're good. But you have to work so hard also as well though. Cause you're like physically bent over trying to do it. And you go like, fuck it. And then they're going all over the gaff and they're going, I'm not very good at this. And part of you is going, no, you're not, but you will be. But you can't say you're not.
No one's good at it straight away.
No, exactly. But also, I'm trying to be so positive. Going, no, you're really good. It just takes practice. Keep going. Well done. And she did it. And she cycled for home for a little bit and then jumped off the bike and did a bow like on stage and was going, thank you. And then I'm like, she's got too cocky now because that didn't deserve a full. But I'm being really positive.
You got on the bike and showed out. Oh, it was done.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how you fucking do it. You've done a wheelie yet, mate?
Yeah, just done a quick ollie on my big BMX. But I was trying to be really positive. But then at some point, when your back's up bent over and she keeps like veering off, you're like going, oh, fucking hell, oh God, like, because you're getting stressed. And then you have to make sure that you're not like projecting that into her. It's so hard to not fuck your kids up at it in the end.
Oh, mate. It's a losing battle. Why do we bother?
It's just minimising the damage, isn't it, basically?
Exactly. Just make sure that the reason you fuck them up is something you didn't realise you were doing. You know what I mean? So rather than something you knew. An accident. Just a personality quirk.
You are shit at riding a bike.
Yeah.
That you're in control of that. That's bad. Shouldn't do that. So just, you know, if it comes off passively, that's not really your fault. Yeah. That's just life.
Here's a question. If you're holding onto the seat and she falls, is that a strong enough hold to keep a child on a bike vertical?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
It's sort of just, I'm just sort of doing it to help. Like, she's sort of doing it on her own quite well, but I'm just sort of doing that. So if she goes too far right, I just do a slight adjustment. It's like spotting someone in the gym. I'm not keeping the balance. She's keeping the balance. And I'm just, it's basically the garden's far, is too small to teach a kid how to ride a bike. So I'm going to have to take her down the park. So I think I might take her late this week. But they've gone to like a gymnastics group this week. They said they didn't want to go. So it's like, it's weird that it's for like 3+. So they've gone together because it's 5-year-old and 3-year-old, but it just seems too grown up to send the 3-year-old to. And she was like, oh, I don't want to go. But Lou's just messaged and said they went in really well, but they're there till like 3 o'clock doing gymnastics.
Whoa, that's quite a long day.
And they don't know anyone. It's a new building. It's new teachers, new. So it's just a bit like, oh God, but you just sort of have to let them.
If they're really into gymnastics, you've absolutely messed your life up there, mate.
I think that's all right. I take gymnastics.
The hours.
Yeah, but whatever they do takes time. At least you're indoors.
Yeah, but what you want them to be good at is like computer games at home.
No, do you know what though? I think gymnastics and dance. I never really properly did sport as a kid, and I ate quite badly, so I was a bit overweight and not very fit. So I'm trying to get fit as an adult. It's so hard, but something like gymnastics or dance is quite good to establish a core strength. That if you're good at gymnastics, it's helpful for every other sport.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because it's good. You're strong and then flexible and agile. And in with a strong core, that can be transferred into any sport, can't it?
I went to my secondary school was big on dance, Rob.
Was it?
Yeah. I didn't do it. That wasn't for me, but it was like that. They, you know, when a school's like, bit like,
it's their thing.
Bit like the Great Britain team's good at cycling, that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And, we had a dance group.
You were all getting blood transfusions before dance?
Yeah, it was all. We were boosting, mate. But we were getting the results.
Span off your nut, just absolutely wide-eyed and pumped, ready to cycle.
Yeah, exactly, mate. But did we do our forwards roles correctly? Yes, we did. No, there was a group of boys that they won some like national dance competition with a rip-off of Stomp. I hate to say it, but it was.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan of Stomp.
No, neither am I. It's called Controlled Freaks was the dance.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
And it was so good that it made Tony Robinson, who was judging the competition, cry. That was how good the dance was.
He must have been going for a divorce or something.
his wife had gone off with the bin, so it was really bringing back these bad memories.
What was it? Controlled Freaks?
Controlled Freaks. Yeah.
I'm Googling it. I don't know why.
It won't come up. It was just like a national children's dance competition.
Tony Robinson's lovely, though. Have you met?
I haven't met Tony Robinson. This is the most lovely
episode ever.
Great guy. A lovely actor. Wonderful.
Oh, God. Well, no, the thing
is... When did you meet Tony Robinson?
On the One Show. For someone who tries to be this loose neck, I've done so much telly and so much like TV that involves like reality people that I've just met so many. I forget how many people I've met.
Who haven't you met, Rob?
Haven't met Cristiano Ronaldo.
Have you not?
No. Usain Bolt, met him. And I've met like Max. I've met half the Olympic team because of Robin.
Of course you have.
Shania Twain. I walked her to stay.
You know she's not in the Olympic team, Rob.
Oh, haven't you heard? She's doing the slalom canoe. Canada.
I'm surprised you've met her because you know what they say, Rob.
What's that?
Never the twain shall meet.
It's good stuff.
That's good stuff. The whole other family option was enjoy that kind of gag.
The other option is, you've met Shania Twain. Well, that don't impress me much.
Oh, yeah, that is good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. But yeah, it has gone really lovely. Tony Robinson's a nice guy. I absolutely love his show about traveling on the trains. Did you watch that?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. That's Michael Portillo, isn't it?
No, Robinson does it as well.
Oh, yes.
He goes round. He goes all over the gaff. He loves it. He's a little wacky fella.
Lovely, please, yeah.
Another thing about Tony Robinson, his current partner is 20 years younger than him.
Yes, I know. I'm fully aware of that.
Yeah, that was a big topic on Loose Women.
Was that a big topic on Loose Women?
Yeah, I tell you who else has got a younger wife, Jon Snow from the news.
Yes, I know. He's was that just on Loose Women as well?
We should get
Oh, my God.
We should get him on the show.
How much money, Rob, for you to become a dad at 70?
Oh, I don't know, but I think if Lou leaves me, I reckon I could have a like a Rod Stewart rebirth of just like trying to be cool and trendy again. Do you know what I mean? Remarry. He's got a mullet. He's having kids. It's the fall of Rob Beckett. I don't think Lou will leave me. I'd never leave her. I love her. But I can imagine
thing you said earlier about the fact she's not impressed by anything you do was slightly worrying.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she has enough. I'm hard to live with. I'm difficult.
Once your daughter's learned the bike.
Yeah, I've done all that kind of stuff. I'm just very jolly. And Lou likes to be a bit, she likes to sneer a little bit and get moany, where I'm just like, it's going to be all right. She's just, you know, if I feel a bit fed up, I try and bring it back up. Where Lou's one of those people, which I think is better for you mentally, to sort of allow yourself to be annoyed.
Yeah.
And then your body goes through feeling annoyed and then you come back feeling good again. But I will try and sort of go, it's all right, and just bring the mood
away.
Up.
Push the negative away. Bury it below the surface.
Bury it until you're 70. Right, let's do some correspondence. I've blabbered on for ages.
I've got some correspondence through Ellie Taylor.
Oh, Ellie Taylor, the talking about her poos after labour.
So someone got in touch with her, and Ellie's passed it on for us.
Okay,
would you like that?
Yeah.
Hello, I just had to message you A well done virtual high five. Just listen to your lockdown parenting hell podcast episode. Compelled to reach out as I can 100% empathize with the whole Ellie Taylor poop. I had an almost identical experience to you. However, should we just say this is about a post cesarean, after a cesarean, how tough it is. And Ellie had to dispose of hers with a shower cap. Is that correct?
Yeah, break it up with her hand.
Yeah.
Because it was blocking the toilet.
Yeah. I had an almost identical experience to you. However, I didn't go down the shower cap route. I found some disposable bamboo cutlery left over from a barbecue and chopped it up with that.
Oh, my God. Obviously, like, in the bowl still. She didn't get it out on a plate.
Yeah, I had some coleslaw and a potato salad with it as well.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, it's all good to talk about. Everyone's going through it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we put a shout out for what I said, don't, that chair's not for jumping on, it's for sitting on.
Yeah.
Last week. And now we're trying to find parent sayings that you don't realise you're old and parent until you say it. I've had this one come in. This one's from Alison Garfield Bickford, which is quite a name. My parent's saying that made me truly feel like I'd finally become a parent. If you're not hungry for a banana, then you're not hungry.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is absolutely on the money.
Oh, here's another one I've had in. This has really made me laugh. This is from Claire Riley from Windermere. She said, "Dear Josh and Rob, I'm listening to your latest podcast about Josh's new dad exhaustion. I thought I'd share with you an amusing story that happened to my husband and I. A few days after my son was born, my elderly neighbour came round with a lovely outfit for the baby. She handed the bag to my husband and said, 'I've got 9 months.' My husband slightly awkwardly replied, 'I'm sorry to hear that, Jean.' She looked a bit bemused and went home. Once my husband had closed the front door and come upstairs, he realised she was in fact referring to the age of the baby she had bought and not her life expectancy." From Claire Riley, "I've got 9 months.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's absolutely unbelievable.
Brutal.
Absolutely brutal.
That got you, didn't it?
Oh, that's my kind of humour. Our baby's big, Rob. He's already exceeding the month thing.
Oh, the percentile thing?
Well, no, like the clothing. You can see it in the clothing.
Oh. I told you the story about my brother's head, haven't I?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Well, my mum took him to get measured when he, you know, you have to take him at like 6 months, 3 months, 6 months to get weighed and measured and all that. She took him and they were measuring him and he was on like the 99th percentile. He's massive, my brother. He's like 6'3". He's a big lump. And anyway, when they measure him, she went, "I've measured his head, but it's gone off the chart. It's off the percent. It's over 100 percentile. And then... And then she went, "All right." And she went, "I don't know what to put down," to my mum. And she was like, "Well, I don't know. I can't, you know." She went, "Yeah, but the chart doesn't go that up either." She went, "The chart doesn't go that high." She went, "Well, you'll have to change the chart because I can't change the size of his head."
Oh.
He has got such a massive head, though.
Yeah.
My brother. He can't wear hats.
I can't wear hats. My head's, I've got a large skull.
You do have a large head, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a bit at the back as well.
It's got a bit at the back.
You know, like it goes, it's long at the back.
It's almost like a roof rack on an estate car.
Exactly. But you don't realise you've got a big head until you try and wear a hat. That's the moment when it all crystallises in your mind that you've got a big head.
You can't wear a hat.
Yeah.
Did you ever start wearing a hat when you first started doing telly? It's always the classic when you see people do like the one appearance on telly hat and shuffle around like anyone cares who they are.
I couldn't. Yeah. And you know I can't wear woolly hats, Rob.
Why can't you wear woolly hats?
It sends me to sleep.
What? Fuck off. What?
So if I can't wear a woolly hat because it'll send me to sleep because it heats up my ears, which just sends me right to sleep.
So if you get hot ears, you go to sleep.
Basically, I get very tired very quickly if I get hot ears. The same with those big headphones. I can't wear big headphones because it sends me to sleep.
You get hot ears. So if we all start talking about you at the same time, you'll fall asleep.
Exactly. I'm fully aware that.
Okay, guys, let's all set our clocks. Let's all mention Josh Widdicombe's name at midnight on Thursday just to get him off to sleep.
Yeah, so my hot ears.
But I didn't know that. So you can't wear a... I find, though, I'm never really cold enough for a woolly hat.
No?
No. I'm quite a hot-blooded guy.
Are you?
Yeah. Are we flirting? Am I flirting with you? Right, Josh, I've got another story. Yeah. Hi, Rob and Josh. Just listening to the episode talking about exhaustion with kids, where a woman said she was so tired she was asleep whilst getting a filling. I have a rival story. I fell asleep whilst getting a bikini wax.
Oh, wow.
A Hollywood. Oh, wow. Hollywood's all gone, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think Hollywood's completely bald, and I think Brazilians a little landing strip,
landing
isn't
strip
it?
Strip is what they would say, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the 70s Parisian is where they just leave it.
Yeah.
They just perm it. Hollywood, here it goes. At the time, my son was 9 months old and was waking up every 40 minutes.
Oh, and Jesus, fuck off.
And taking about half an hour to soothe back to sleep.
Oh, my word.
Dreadful. Hopefully that makes you feel a bit better, Josh. Someone has it worse. From Charlotte, the sleeping wax victim.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Fair enough. That is absolutely awful. What an awful situation to be in that.
We've got loads of teeth chat off the back of talking about keeping the umbilical cord, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Some people keep the umbilical cord. I think the Whitmore and Sterling have got it framed in their house.
Of course.
So there's loads of people have come in with this. Listening to Tuesday's podcast, a bit about the rank belly button and wondering what we're meant to do with the teeth. I have all my boys' baby teeth and I don't know why. What am I going to do with them?
Oh,
I've always
God.
Wondered what I'm meant to do with them when they fall out. But my boys are 10 and 13 and I still haven't worked it out.
Oh, my God.
And have two full mouths of teeth in a box.
Oh,
no. Just get rid. Throw them away.
Just get rid. They've got no memories attached. You will never look at them and go, oh, that reminds me of when my children were children. Do you know what I mean? If I had the option of having my baby teeth given to me, I wouldn't give the only way they're ever going to be worth anything is if your children became huge, important historical figures, in which case those teeth would suddenly be worth something.
Even then, would you buy John Lennon's baby teeth?
No, I wouldn't actually. No, no.
Damon Albarn's, he's your favourite.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy, I like John Lennon as much as I like Damon Albarn, Rob, and I wouldn't buy either of their baby teeth. The John Lennon ones would be too expensive. But I think, no, I wouldn't want anyone's baby teeth.
Well, there's another one as well. Off the back of keeping shriveled up belly button of your kids, I thought I'd share something along similar lines to throw it out there to see if it's just me or anyone else. I've got she's got a stash of a mix of teeth from all her three kids. She's got no idea what to do with them.
They're just in a kind of pick and mix?
It's a pick and mix. He said probably make a necklace out of them one day.
Oh my God, no.
Like Papa Shongo from wrestling.
No.
Oh, another one. Hi, both. I was listening to your podcast today and hearing about people keeping the belly button that falls off. It reminded me a few years back, my sister and I realised my dad kept all our teeth that had fallen out and sellotaped them to a framed portrait of us, which was hanging on the living room wall.
Oh, my God.
Literally, there were dozens of teeth sellotaped in the back. If anyone was to see it, you would think my dad's a total freak. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Get rid of it. Throw them away.
Throw away your teeth.
Or donate them to science. Can you do that? Do they need them?
I don't know. You don't need that. You don't need that stuff. You don't need your nail clippings or your... You're not Howard Hughes. Do you know what I mean? You're not living in a kind of weird bubble where you're keeping your stuff. I feel quite strongly about this. We should start a campaign. Get rid of all baby teeth. We don't need...
Yeah.
We don't need it.
Send us photos or videos of you putting the baby teeth in the bin. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
We've got some people coming in with stuff about badgers because Ellie's got badger problem and you can't get rid of badgers, can you? They're protected.
Yeah.
I've just listened to today's podcast and thought you might enjoy my dad's solution to Ellie's badger problem. My parents also live in the dubious Zone 9 area of Essex.
Zone 9.
And last summer,
come on, have a word with yourselves.
Their lawn was somewhat destroyed by a badger. Maybe it was even the same one. I just had my first baby and living in a flat during lockdown and used to spend a lot of time in my parents' garden, which meant also witnessing my dad, who was working from home, come into the garden, wee on the hole where the badger had dug, or sometimes into a bucket, which was later to be poured on said hole, then immediately disappear inside to work. Apparently, there's something in male wee that scares off badgers. I'm pretty sure I found out on Google, but it did actually work.
I'll pass it on to Ellie.
Get me through lockdown. This is Alex, who can't afford to live in Zone 9, so she lives in Zone 6. Oh, so is it more expensive?
What, is Zone 9 more expensive? Because it's more countrysidey.
The further out of London, the cheaper it got. But does it come back round again?
It must, because you're in like the green belt or whatever it's called. Whoa.
Who knows? But
who knows?
Piss on the floor, the badgers will go.
There we go.
Well, I will ask her to get her husband to piss on the badgers and see what happens.
Yeah. Let me just text her. Let me just text her. You hold there.
I'll hold the phone.
What should I write? Get your husband to piss
on the badger.
On the badger. That sounds like a euphemism, Rob.
Oh, God, it sounds like, yeah, that sounds bad.
The badgers have dug.
Piss on the badger. Get him to piss on your badger's hole, and then the badger won't be there anymore. See, we're helping Ellie out of a badger prop.
I've sent it. There we go.
Poor old Ellie's going to be defined by having a massive shit and a piss-covered badger hole.
The things people do to sell their book, Rob. The things people do to sell their book.
Buy a book for gold's sake.
Buy a book. It's very good. Right. Small business shout-outs?
Yes, let's do small business shout-outs. I've got one. This is a really good idea that I want to support. It's not a business. It's almost like a charity. I don't know if it's a charity or a community club. I don't know what you call it. It's called the Proper Blokes Club.
Okay? Right.
Which is, you can find them. Let me get their website up. It's a society, basically. This guy started in lockdown and he does walks. He does London at the moment, Southeast London. The Proper Blokes Club. .co.uk, and he does all these different walks, and you don't have to book, you don't have to pay, you just turn up, and it's just men going for a walk and having a chat about mental health and mental health awareness.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a really great. Good. It's really blown up. So he does one in in Southwark on Thursdays and Sundays, meet by HMS Belfast. He does one in Greenwich on Monday at 7 p.m, meet by Cutty Sark, and Wallington on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. It's just one bloke who started this a year ago in lockdown. He had like 20 people on his walk the other day. And if you go to the properblokesclub.co.uk, there's all stuff like the way you can support them, what walks they do, testimonials, contact, and loads of, just if you want to go for a walk, it's a bit of exercise, bit of a chat, and you can talk to people that, you can talk as much as you want or as little as you want, but it's an opportunity there to have a chat.
You have to talk about mental health. Do they tell you to shut up if you don't talk about mental health?
No, I don't think it's that extreme. I think they're quite chilled.
Did you say Strictly last night? I'm sorry, I can't talk to you about that.
No, we can't. It literally has to be. No, so it's just a way, if you want to go for a walk and meet up, whatever your situation.
That is a great idea.
Open to anyone. So it's a Proper Blokes Club. You can get them on Twitter and they're on Instagram as well. The_proper_blokes_club. I'm getting flashbacks to that flat pack guy.
Oh, my word. People, keep it simple.
I'll share it on my Instagram as well and stuff. The Instagram, or Proper Blokes Club.
Hey, Rob and Joshua. Love Joshua. Come on. What's that all about? Where's that?
Joshua.
Why does he get Rob? Surely it should be, hey, Robert and Joshua. Love your podcast, which provides comfort and laughter to my husband and I as we navigate becoming parents. Our son is 17 months old. Sending a small business shout out. My friend Annie set up Mentor Mums, which connects women returning from maternity leave with someone who has already done so. It's a nerve-wracking time for many new mums, but being paired up with someone else helped me feel much more confident when I returned to work and to my new job. You can visit https://. www.mentormums.co.uk. That is https://. www.mentormums.co.uk. Find out more. Keep up the good work. Emily Q.
Lovely.
Oh, Ellie's got back to us. Yes, herd male urine is very useful. And apparently you can buy lion piss online to really up the ante versus badgers.
Oh, my God, lion piss. who's selling that? That's a tough job, isn't it? Getting a lion to piss for you. Can you imagine that? Is it male lions?
Like a drug test after an Olympic event. No.
Come here, mate. That's got to be London Zoo, little side. Where are you getting this lion piss from?
Yeah, how do you know? Because they're just going to piss where they want, right? You can't convince it to piss in a pot.
There must be so much of it. Buy Predator pee at Amazon.
I can feel Michael's energy going. We're almost there, guys. Don't do another 10 minutes for me to...
Okay, we're not going to talk about lion piss, okay?
All right. I've just Googled Pete Tong's email address to end
the show.
Oh,
yeah, I've got it here. I can play it loud.
We'll post it out there on the BBC homepages of the internet. And I keep saying that and not giving you the address. And I do get a lot of inquiries, so it's very complicated. But here it comes. http://www.bbcnc.org.uk/bbctoe/radio1/p/tom / index.
Have you write this down?
Stop. HTML. I know it doesn't make sense, but you will understand what I mean.
That is. That's an email address, Rob.
That is an email. HTML at the end, just in case. You've got to P/Tom, was it? Yeah. Oh my God, you can get 64 ounces of refill jug of predator piss for 310 quid. How many badges you got? Fuck, it's jet black, this wolf piss.
Oh
wolf.
My God.
Sorry, let's stop.
Do you think it's Wolf from Gladiators? He's got a sideline.
It's the same colour of my piss of mine after the Euros. Horrible 2 days that was. Right, guys, let's stop now, and we'll can catch up before Friday's episode with some more emails, Josh, can't we?
We can. We'll see you then.
Bye.